Welcome to another episode of Fit to Teach, where every Monday we provide evidence-based health and wellness information to support teachers and school employees on their wellness journey. My name is Kyle Pfaffenbach. I'm an associate professor of health and human performance at Eastern Oregon University and the director of the EOU Lab for Exercise Assessment and Performance, which we call the LEAP. I'm joined by LEAP intern Nathan Marshall. What's up, Nathan?
What's up, Kyle?
Nathan is a senior here at EOU. For Fit to Teach, each week we provide a summary of a research paper that provides insights into some aspect of health and wellness, and we also suggest an achievable action item that teachers and staff can focus on for the week. The goal is that by trying these activities throughout each week, that healthy habits will accumulate and you can find out what health and wellness activities are a good fit for you. So let's get into it. Okay. So in the past, for Fit to Teach, we've always had a paper, and we sort of use that as the basis for the topic that we discuss. So we've talked about everything from vegetable intake to resistance training to amount of resistance training to cardiovascular exercise. So if you haven't listened to those episodes, make sure you go back and check those out. Try and keep these around 15, 20 minutes and give you some sort of actionable item that you can take with you and sort of start building up these habits over time. So this week is a little bit different because we don't have a paper, but I wanted to discuss a topic that I get asked a lot of questions about. So for those of you that don't know, my background is in nutrition. So I teach nutrition here at EOU. I'm also a nutrition consultant for a variety of professional athletes, the Brooks Beast, for example, and some other professional athletes. I did nutrition for the Seattle Sounders for a year. So we're going to kind of like work off that experience. And I also give quite a few talks to non-athletic populations. And when I say non-athletic, I'm not accusing anyone of not like being coordinated. I'm sure your jump shot is fine. I'm talking more about like applicable things of for just like free living, aging adults. So the topic for today is carbohydrates. There's a lot of questions about carbohydrates. This is something that I think is really important to kind of wrap our heads around, especially from a just kind of everyday standpoint. There's a lot out there about carbohydrates, like should I be low carbohydrate? Should I be high carbohydrate? What's a simple carbohydrate? What are complex carbohydrates? What's the difference between glucose and fructose? What's the deal with high fructose corn sugar? All those different types of things. And the main thing that I want to talk about today is sort of how to fit carbohydrates into your day-to-day meals, what carbohydrates are really good for, and then just some things to be on the lookout with carbohydrates. I am not in a single camp, I guess you could, is the easiest way to put it, when it comes to dietary approaches. Everybody is different. Not in like a, I say this a lot in classes, not in like a kumbaya, we're all kind of special kind of way. That is also true, but in a very real biological sense. And so this may provide insight, but having this conversation, I think, is really important for people that are trying to figure out what their dietary approach is, because there's so much information, some of it good, some of it misinformation. And a lot of times things from a nutrition standpoint are presented very black and white, like you need to never eat another carbohydrate in your life, or like anybody that says do this type of diet or that type of diet, I kind of steer away from that because it's just too absolute. There's shades of gray with all this stuff. Nathan's taken my nutrition class, two exercise physiology classes for me. He's also in an environmental exercise physiology class. So he's learned a lot about this and we've talked a lot about this, but I'm kind of blindsiding him here because I told him we're not doing a paper and the topic is carbohydrates. So like, what was your first thought when you heard that?
Well, I'm excited to talk about this because I think it's something that like, I don't know much about. I know in our nutrition.
How dare you? You're making me look bad.
Well, no, like in terms of just this, like the average person carbohydrate
sure.
consumption, because we talked about it. Like when I was playing soccer, I asked you about it last year.
Mm-hmm.
And when I took your nutrition class, and I think I kind of had this approach of like, okay, I'm doing two hard sessions a day. It's just about getting
training sessions
and getting like as many carbohydrates as I can.
Sure.
And I did a dietary analysis and did a dietary plan where I tracked it. And like, I think I was at like 250, 300 grams of carbs.
Yep.
which was a lot. And it was like, I had to put a lot of effort into that. But now I'm transitioning to not training as much and being more mindful and like having more time to fuel. So I'm with you guys in this. Like, I'm learning how to feel myself as like someone who's, you know, switching training plans a little bit. So
you're going from being like a competitive athlete to being a recreational athlete.
Yeah, totally. Do you want to, like, one thing about I've noticed with carbs is like, I can kind of tell when I'm low on carbs. Like, I can tell when I'm starting to get low blood sugar. I know when my, when I'm, I can tell, like when I'm training fasted, I feel not great.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I've kind of, not sensitive to it, but like, I kind of am pretty in tune with like when I have carbs versus when I don't.
Yeah. I think most people do, especially if you're used to eating carbohydrates. You know, there's a lot out there right now about like ketogenic diets and fat adapted diets or high protein diets, like the paleo diet and those sorts of things. And sort of like how carbohydrate is sort of the devil at this point. At one point, you know, 20, 30 years ago, fat was the devil. Protein was sort of this afterthought, and carbohydrates were the thing that, you know, like bagels at one point were considered a health food. So now we know a little bit more about some of the risks involved with chronic intake and chronic consumption of lots of sugar and lots of high carbohydrates. And we know some of the benefits of maybe making sure you're getting enough calories, but making the majority of those calories protein and fat. And there's some advantages to that, especially for like recreationally active people. So we just wanted to take a minute and talk about that and examine that a little bit. And I think you're right. Like, if you're used to eating carbohydrates and you try and stop eating carbohydrates, there's definitely a period of time where you don't feel your best. Mm. And there's some people that respond really well to it. And so they're like, okay, I expect not to feel good for a little bit, but then I'm going to become adapted to not having carbohydrates. I'm going to feel better. And that can occur to a certain extent, but I can tell you, I can assure you, there is no like high level athlete or even high level recreational athlete that is setting PRs that is performing at their best in the absence of carbohydrates. Now, there are some examples of like people on really low carbohydrate diets that run like ultra marathons and things like that. And that makes a little bit more sense because carbohydrates fuel high intensity work really well. And that's a lot of what you were doing. Mm-hmm. And so if you try and do a sprint workout or a CrossFit workout or a high intensity interval workout in a carb depleted state, you're just not going to be at your best. Can you build some, I wouldn't say resistance to it, but can you get to the point where that seems kind of normal? Sure. At the end of the day, you will always do better during high intensity exercise when you have carbohydrates in the system.
I'll share an anecdote because it's super applicable. Because my mom, bringing up my mom again. Shout out, mom.
Yes.
She's going to listen to this. But this is great because she's the part of the population that we're kind of, you know, aiming this at.
Exactly.
She texted me the other day and she said, Nathan, like, I go on my walk every day and it's an hour long walk and we live by a bunch of hills. So there's a lot of hills and I think I would be described as, you know, probably moderate to vigorous exercise.
Sure.
And she's like, but I'm feeling super tired on my walks. And I'm like, well, what's like, cause she's an interesting eating schedule. I'll say interesting.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And she's like, well, I'm going to like have a couple dates before I like go up a couple of the big hills at the end.
Cause
like, I was like, okay, like, yeah, you know, go ahead and see.
Yeah. Dates being the fruit, super high in sugar.
So she was like, so she did it and she was like, and she had two. So I don't know how many grams it is.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. Quite a bit. Yeah. And she said,
probably 20 grams.
And she did it like, grams. I think it was like halfway in her walk. And she said the rest of the walk, she felt better.
Yes.
So I don't know. I thought, you know, we're just talking about like performance and stuff like that.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously my mom's not an elite level athlete, but she still is, you know, fairly active and she wants to perform better on her walks and feel better. And I think that was kind of cool. Like this stuff is like, yeah, elite athletes, like they have goos and they have all these fancy energy drinks and energy gels and stuff. But like, just grab a couple dates on a walk.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can kind of get that.
This is really good. So the first thing we need to know about carbohydrates is if you're consuming carbohydrates near workouts, or if you're consuming carbohydrates at rest, you have a different physiologic response. So this is typically where I start when I'm talking to people about this. So when we're at rest and we eat carbohydrates, oftentimes in a mixed meal, so let's say you have like, I went back and listened to one of our earlier episodes about eating fruits and vegetables, and you were saying that one of your go-to breakfast is like a yogurt bowl full of fruit. And fruit has a lot of sugar in it. It has a lot of carbohydrates in it. And when we're going to use sugar and carbohydrate interchangeably, yeah, there's like starches, pastas, potatoes. Those are complex carbohydrates, but it just means they're longer chains of sugar. Whereas fruits have more simple forms of sugar, but it's all just sugar or carbohydrates. So we're going to use those terms interchangeably here. So when you eat a mixed meal that contains sugar or carbohydrate in the form of fruit or in the form of pasta or rice or bread, what happens when we're at rest is that that sugar gets absorbed through our small intestine and it enters the bloodstream. And a lot of you are going to be familiar with this. So we get a rise in blood sugar. And when we're at rest, that rise in blood sugar is accompanied by a rise in a hormone called insulin. And insulin is this thing that a lot of people have heard of in the context of diabetes, both type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes. And so oftentimes we only think of insulin as being this hormone that's related to blood sugar regulation. And that's not the case. I mean, it is the case, but insulin does so much more than that. And the reason why insulin does more than that is because insulin is only released when we are at rest and our blood sugar rises. And under those conditions, we have lots of energy coming into the system and low energy demand. We are at rest. And under those circumstances, that's a great time to recover, store, and turn on what we call anabolic processes or growing processes. So, for example, when you're at rest and you eat a meal that has carbohydrate, you get a rise in blood sugar, you get a rise in insulin, and we turn on things like protein synthesis and you start rebuilding and you start recovering. We also store a certain amount of sugar in our muscles. That's called muscle glycogen, another term people might have heard. And what happens is that our bodies really love using carbohydrates as a fuel when it's present. So there's this big misconception that when people stop eating carbohydrates, they lose weight. And they think it's because when you eat too many carbohydrates, the carbohydrates turn into fat. And that doesn't really happen in humans to a very great degree, at least in terms of it contributing to adiposity, like how much body fat you have. What does happen, though, is when you eat a lot of carbohydrates, the reason why people gain weight is because they overconsume in calories and they always are putting the body's favorite energy form into the system. So it's always using the sugar that you're continuously putting in your body, and it's never using the fat that's there that could fuel some of the processes that occur when we're at rest. And so really, it's not that carbohydrates turn into fat, it's that carbohydrates spare fat. So that's the first thing to think about. The second thing to think about is insulin is really involved with a lot of growth. But when you don't have a lot of demand for growth, so, you know, adults over the age of 18 or 19 are done growing. Their long bones have formed. Unless you're training really hard, you're not having like massive amounts of muscle tissue turnover and those types of things. So the negative health effects that come with overconsuming carbohydrates is not just that we're getting too many calories and we're not using our fat as a fuel efficiently. It's also that we're constantly signaling through insulin these signals to our cells saying, grow, grow, grow. And the cells eventually just say, we don't have anything to grow for. We don't want to do this anymore. And so what the cells do is they become resistant to insulin. And that sort of backs up the ability of insulin to get sugar into our cells. So we end up with high insulin, high blood sugar, or a condition called insulin resistance, which is the beginning of what type 2 diabetes is. And so when people are consuming too much sugar too often and they're not using it for exercise or recovery from exercise, you end up developing insulin resistance. And this is kind of the story about type 2 diabetes that isn't often, you just think, oh, well, I'm getting old. And now my blood sugar is getting high because my insulin isn't working the way it's supposed to anymore. Well, the reason why your insulin isn't working, or a person's insulin isn't working the way it's supposed to anymore, is because you're bombarding your system with too many signals to grow, and you're not burning enough of this through exercise. It creates this metabolic scenario that's all interconnected with like calorie excess, increase in body fat, increase obesity, increase insulin resistance, increase inflammation. And these are the things that people are talking about when they talk about like metabolic health and the risk of type 2 diabetes being also coupled to things like obesity and heart disease and stuff like that.
My follow-up question is like, so we've talked about like what carbs do and what the effects it has, right? So,
yes.
So like, what's the starting place for someone who's like, okay, well, how many carbs do I eat?
Yeah.
Like, how do I pair it with my exercise?
Such a good question. So from a practical standpoint, the most basic advice I can give a person for a starting point is this. First, the brain loves sugar. And this, we'll get back to this in a second, but that's why your mom felt better. But when you take a couple of dates or you take a half a banana while you're on a brisk walk, that sugar, the presence of that sugar in your mouth actually talks to your brain and says, hey, we have our favorite energy source coming into the system, and feelings of fatigue go down. So we use this a lot, like your mom used it before her hills, mm-hmm. before her biggest hills, and it made her feel better. From like a mental standpoint, we use this a lot in our athletes. Anytime anybody's feeling like, why am I out here doing this? Why am I, oh, I still have this long to go. Oh, that big hill is coming up. We look for that as a cue that the body's running low on sugar. And when you take sugar, you typically feel better. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. There's a big connection between sugar and making your brain happy. The reason why sugar makes your brain happy is because your brain would prefer to run on sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's estimated that an adult brain uses about 120 grams of sugar per day. So that's your starting point.
Okay.
And if you break that up into three meals throughout the day, that's breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 40 grams per meal, that's your starting place. That's your baseline carbohydrate, and that's your starting place. And so what I would say in terms of practical advice is that people need to figure out, well, what's 40 grams of carbs look like, right? Well, it's literally like one banana has almost 40 grams of carbs. Two pieces of toast has 40 grams of carbs. One full bagel, both halves, has like 65 or 70 grams of carbs, right? Your oatmeal is going to have a certain amount of carbohydrates. All these different types of things are going to have a lot of carbohydrates. And so first of all, you want to like figure out how many carbs are in the foods that you typically eat and figure out how to dial that back to 40 grams. And that's really the best place to start. That's going to give you a little bit of sugar. It's going to help fuel the recreational activity that you're doing, but it's not going to be so much sugar that it's preventing you from tapping into your fat and using your fat.
Okay, that makes sense.
The other thing about this is that can really help about dialing back carbohydrates is that, one, it usually leads to you want to get like a reasonable amount of fat. And fat's pretty easy because it's in a lot of food. And so you don't really have to think too much about fat if you're eating healthy. So then what you're thinking about is like, okay, well, I want to make sure I get enough protein. Protein's going to make me feel full. So I'm going to need to like hopefully snack less. And then I can just eat three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I get a nice mixed meal. I get raw vegetables at every meal, a couple servings. So if you get two servings of vegetables, protein, and oftentimes that protein comes from meat, which is going to have your fat component, and then a little bit of carbohydrates, that's a really balanced meal. And if you do that three times a day, that's going to get you to your protein goal, which is going to help keep you full. It's going to get you a little bit of energy for your brain and for a little bit of higher intensity exercise, or maybe you're going to, you know, push it a little bit. And then you're also getting two servings of vegetables, which we already talked about. Getting five or more servings per day is really good. So now you're talking about three meals a day with all that. You're not overeating carbohydrates. You're getting enough. You're not consuming too much fat because it's coupled with a really healthy protein source. And then you're also getting six servings of vegetables per day. And it sounds pretty easy when you do it like that. I know in practice it's a little bit more complicated. Mm-hmm. Where most people get off track with this is that they eat too many snacks throughout the day that are high in carbohydrate. And those will make you feel better quickly, because remember, it makes your brain happy to eat sugar. Mm-hmm. But you oftentimes end up with a sugar crash. So it's very short-lived. The energy boost is very short-lived. And it's spiking insulin throughout the day. And the more times we spike insulin throughout the day, the less fat we're using and the more of those growth signals we're sending, when we probably don't need those growth signals. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
So what happens is that a lot of people say, well, yeah, I love fruit. And so I have some fruit in the morning and then mid-morning before lunch. But the problem is they don't get enough protein in the morning. So they're hungry before lunch. And they say, okay, well, before lunch, I eat a banana and an apple. Basically, now you're at two big insulin spikes, your breakfast insulin spike, your mid-morning insulin spike. Then you eat another meal at lunch. That's another insulin spike. Then you have an afternoon snack or coffee that has, you know, cream and whipped cream or sugar flavor in it. That's another insulin spike. Then you have dinner. That's another insulin spike. And then one of the things that people do is they wait a half an hour or an hour after dinner before they have dessert. There's another insulin spike. Mm-hmm. So, and this goes for the same thing where I've heard people say, well, what if I eat lots of small meals all throughout the day? That makes me feel good. Well, it's going to make you feel good because you basically have this like IV drip of sugar coming into the system, which makes your brain happy. And that is going to make you feel good. The problem is that you're chronically activating or elevating insulin, which remember, insulin is going to increase fat storage, suppress fat usage, and you're chronically going to be sending those growth signals that we said become unregulated in conditions like type 2 diabetes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, super informative.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, we can come back and revisit this. Send us your questions if you have questions around this. I know we're like slightly over 20 minutes here. So the big take home for this week is become aware of the sugar content in the food that you're eating. Try and avoid sugar snacks. That includes like non-diet soda and other things like that. Just try and stick to water for a week, for example, because non-calorie containing beverages like Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi and those types of things have, they're not spiking your sugar, but they have other issues with additives that they use to make them taste sweet. And so basically what you're doing is you're trying to like say, okay, I'm going to minimize the number of times I spike insulin throughout the day. I'm going to get some carbohydrates for my brain and for my exercise, but really I'm going to focus on getting healthy protein and vegetables at each meal and see how you feel.
Yeah. I do want to say too, is like, we're kind of creating this story about, you know, dieting and stuff like that and carbs and protein, all this stuff. But if you come into the lab, we can make this super personalized and give you a lot of good information about carbohydrate consumption and protein consumption that would all be unique to you. So we're talking very broad here, but if you come to the lab, we can make it super, super.
Yeah. So again, what Nathan's referring to is we offer free teacher wellness explorations. You guys have seen the flyers. They're in your mailbox. You've seen the emails from Scott. All you have to do is reach out to Nathan at nemarshall@eou.edu or reach out to the lab at humanperformancelab@eou.edu. That's nemarshall, N as in no, nemarshall@eou.edu or humanperformancelab@eou.edu. And what we do when people come in is we actually put you on what's called a metabolic cart. And so we hook you up to a little mask. And we can analyze how many calories you burn in a day. And from that, we can break that down and tell you, this is how much protein you need. This is how much carbohydrate you need. This is how much fat that you need for you, individualized for you. And then we offer an information packet that has some basic dietary guidelines and approaches. And we discuss these types of things in that. So it's one of the more useful and applicable things that people, especially on the what we call the general health exploration or recreational health exploration track. And then we can even, if you're up for it, we can have you walk on a treadmill mm-hmm. at various speeds, and we can tell you when you're walking the speed, this is how many calories you burn. Not only that, but this is how many carbs you burn, and this is how many fats you burn when you walk at this speed for like an hour or half an hour. And that information is very, very applicable. So we want to encourage as many people. We're kind of like to the point we've had five or six people in. I think the feedback that we get in our surveys suggests that the experience is a really great experience, but we want to reach more of you. So we're really, really hoping just take the leap. No pun intended, it's a leap lab, but you know, take the jump and come on into the lab. It's super fun and informational.
Yeah. Well, great time.
Okay, cool. So that's our episode for this week. Thanks for listening to Fit to Teach, where we provide insights into health and wellness for teachers and staff each week. We will see you on Friday for another episode of our Get Ready for the Weekend show that we call Classroom to Call. So we'll see you then.